The City Quick Connect podcast is brought to you by the Municipal Association of South Carolina.
Hey everyone, this is Russell Cox, editor of the Municipal Association of South Carolina's Uptown publication. And in this episode, I am joined by Tracy Hagler. Tracy is the city manager for the city of Casey. How are you today, Tracy?
I'm great. Thank you. Thanks for having me. How are you?
I am doing well. I'm very excited to be talking about this project. This is one I have followed along with over the years. We are going to be talking about Casey's River Arts District Development, which won one of the Municipal Association's Achievement Awards this year. As I understand it, this effort in Casey's original Central Business District, it has everything from public art installations. I've seen many of those crop up over time. The city-owned art lot with a stage, things like the Soiree on State Street Party. There's a lot happening with this one. I can say, on a personal note, I might be a resident of the city of Columbia, but I am in Casey just because it's across the river. And I can say that this district is home to one of my favorite coffee shops in the Midlands, Peacewise Coffee Company, right there on State Street. So can you, it's just a lovely little coffee shop. Mm-hmm. Can you walk us through all of the aspects of the River Arts District and how the city came to pursue this initiative?
Yeah, great. Would love to. So, you know, you sort of introed all of the things that are going on in this district. As you mentioned, it's certainly the original heart of the city, the heart of our downtown. Mm-hmm. Not too uncommon, like many places, it certainly went into disrepair. A lot of the businesses moved to the outskirts of the city or further out. So certainly had decades of being vacant and having our buildings boarded up and just not having the life that we know it should have. Mm-hmm. It sits at the basically the intersection of State Street and Frank Street. And so it's a couple blocks in both directions. It kind of creates an L and is parallel to the Congaree River and our Riverwalk, which of course is a part of the Three Rivers Greenway system. Mm-hmm. In the Midlands. So it's got so much going on in the sense of, you know, location. It's got environmental assets with the Riverwalk and the river. It's our downtown core, so it's still got the great bones of an urban center. And, just, again, great proximity. And so, you know, when Mayor Parton took office in 2008, you know, she and council sort of, you know, created the vision of redeveloping and revitalizing this downtown. Again, not uncommon. A lot of cities go through this. And, you know, what she did and what she's been very good at doing, Mayor Parton, is creating connections and, you know, trying to get people talking. I mean, it's obviously where you got to start. Like, what's going on with this building? What's going on with that building? Who's the property owner? You know, what are they doing with it? And, you know, she had a lot of property owners wanting to create great value out of their businesses. She was talking to businesses who wanted to come to the city, but they weren't talking to each other. Again, not unusual. Mm-hmm. And so she started to try and create those connections. At the same time, she was learning about the fantastic art community that the city of Casey has. And, you know, all sorts of artists of every medium, and some are, you know, world known and just, you know, all just a great asset there. And so she started getting the artists talking to each other because she asked one if they knew the other and they didn't. And so she helped them sort of create the Casey Arts Guild, which has now grown up and become a 501c3 and has many members, and they're on mm-hmm. their own and not, you know, city led. This is a group of citizens in Casey that have this talent and this unique connection. So she started thinking that, wow, we need to connect the arts to this redevelopment and to these building owners and to these businesses, all kind of getting together and creating the synergy that she thought would be obvious and start to just take shape. Well, everybody's intended, you know, well-intended there, and everybody wants to do this, but again, nothing's really happening. It just continues to be stagnant for many years. Remember, she kind of started this in 2008. Mm-hmm. Well, in 2015, she got to be a part of the Mayor's Institute on City Design. I'm not sure if you know what that is, but, you know, spearheaded by Mayor Riley from Charleston, and it's a National Endowment for the Arts partnership with the U.S. Conference of Mayors. So she got to be a part of this elite group that goes each year and tackles problems. And it's for free. So the problem she took to this group, of course, was our district that, you know, was not revitalizing as quickly as she wanted to. So experts, you know, sat around for a few days and talked about things that we could do. And they came up with the term pre-vitalization. They said, what you're trying to do is revitalize an area that doesn't know yet what it wants to be. Mm-hmm. And this term pre-vitalization really spoke to her. And what it meant was you need to show people the art of what's possible. And art is a great pun in the middle of what we're trying to do here, but you know, certainly ironic that that was the term used, but what is possible here? Help people to, you know, envision what you're wanting it to be and what it can be, because somebody's got to take the first step. I think that's the problem with probably most downtown redevelopments, is who takes that first step, who takes the leap of faith. So she came back with that message and said, okay, we got to show people first. And that's where Sorry on State became or was born. She said, let's have a party. Let's get the property owners to open up their properties. They need to clean them out because they've been just, you know, full of storage and things that they've put in them for years. Mm-hmm. Clean them out, open them up for a day, encourage artists to set up in those spaces, and they could sell their art for a day, have a street party, close it down, music, food vendors, you know, just a traditional good old fashioned party. But what she was doing was she was showing off the spaces in these buildings that have potential.
Getting people to actually be present and look at these buildings who otherwise would have had no reason to do so.
Correct. But it was from both sides. So you had the property owner now having motivation to clean it up and open it up to somebody to look at. And then people were getting in there and kind of realizing, ah, this is a great space. I could see myself having my business here. So it was hugely successful. Within a year, that happened. If somebody had attended the soiree and said, I'm looking for a place to open up my shop. This is exactly where I want to be. I don't know, had they not attended that, if they would have, you know, found that convenience for them or you know, the opportunity for them. So that's just sort of over time become the way in which new businesses are coming there. And, you know, first one comes, now people want to follow. So we've had a series of successful new businesses open up, you know, after that first one came, Peacewise, of course, being one of them. And yes, I'm biased, but I think it's the best coffee. it's so good, but it is definitely it's just become the space that, you know, that area and that district needed. We've had businesses that opened up during COVID, which was difficult for a lot of businesses to do. But I think because of all of the other synergy going on there, it worked. That was Dialed Bicycles. They're doing really well. So that's the literal part of you know, and I think that's, you know, steps into the soiree on State. And that's been something we've thrown every year since, minus COVID years, to get people to this area as part of it. And Mayor says it really well. Mayor Parton says it's a secret economic development engine. It's a party, you know, but it's really been that. But the other aspects of the art district redevelopment has been bringing and infusing the art. So I like to say businesses come when there's a certain amount of investment from the city or the local jurisdiction. We know that. You build roads, you build water, you build, you know, you treat sewer. Those things are innate for businesses to be attracted to a place. Well, here, I mean, we had those things, but the infrastructure that the city really built was the public art. And so we went after a variety of grants and were successful in accumulating a lot of money to build the public art or to develop and create the public art. That's been the city's investment in making it even more attractive than it was already, you know, becoming to, you know, attracting new businesses to that. So you see the public art, we've got murals, we've got sculpture, cool things on the streets, you know, parts of the sidewalks, things guiding you towards the river. We have new Riverwalk signage, or River District signage that's, you know, it was funded by the state and Senator Setzler and Representative Kasky. And the art lot you mentioned. So that was one of the very first things we did as a city investment in this redeveloping area was buy a property. It had a home structure, a residential structure on it, was very derelict, a spot for a lot of criminal activity. We were going there very frequently as police officers and managing issues at this site. And we bought it and through a grant again, and we demolished that home. So we took care of a criminal issue that was probably holding part of the district back. and then converted that into what's called the art lot, part parking. So there's public parking for this area as it's growing, and a place to display art. It's a third place for people with the stage you mentioned. We can do small shows in and poetry readings or guitar, just great music can be done there. And there's places to sit, places to convene, go grab a coffee at Peacewise and go sit outside. So it's a great story of kind of taking care of an issue that, again, that might be detracting from the district, and then turning that into something that is giving back to and benefiting the area. So that's the street side itself. Of course, you have a connection to the Riverwalk that's in there. You know, all of this, of course, is in the middle of a neighborhood, and you've got residences on all sides of this that are also benefiting from not only the economic development of the Springs, but the energy and the quality of life aspects that come to them. So it's a lot of moving parts, but, you know, it started with connections and getting people together, visualizing what they wanted, and then ending with, you know, this constant resurgence of new businesses. And we continue to infuse new art as we can, just to keep it really cool.
You know, one of the businesses in there, and I greatly enjoy wordplay, you know, Soiree on State, that's alliteration. It's a soiree event. It's on State Street. But also, and right next to Peacewise, is the State of the Art Gallery and Pottery Studio. State. Yes, because it's on State Street. Yes. So out of all of the art that has come in, and the artists, are there any who have... that particular piece of art has meant a lot to you in particular?
Oh gosh, I love them all. And they've all been local artists. The murals are stunning. I'm sure you've seen Aja Charles. She's on the Boo building. It's the beautiful girl, you know, kind of staring off into wonder. And they've all had this local spin where there's iconic parts of the city have been built into the artwork. Michael Gettings has it's a chameleon. It's not an iguana. It's not a lizard. I think it's a chameleon holding a paintbrush and, you know, on the banks of the river. And it's stunning. It's just very local. You look at it, and every time I look at it, I see something new. And that's kind of fun for all of the art pieces, and particularly the murals. Roy Pascal did a statue that's in the art lot. If you haven't seen that, it's the River Maiden, and it's gorgeous. It's a bronze statue, and she represents the two rivers coming together to form the Congaree. So she's kind of holding these buckets, for lack of it, they're urns, and the water is kind of flowing out of them two at a time, and then they come together to form the Congaree, which of course is such a big part of this city's history. And, you know, Native American, and just it's stunning. So they've all just been so personal to Casey. And I'll tell you what's been fun too, to watch the artists themselves as they're working, they're constantly being approached by our citizens. And they tell you that they have had the best time talking to residents, or, you know, even visitors as they come to, say, patronize Peacewise, and just stop and talk to them. And they got stories from people that have lived here forever, generations of family members, and pointing at different things that they might have been painting or talking about things. So they've had a really rich experience as well, being in the community, creating that art. And we've formed a great relationship with them, as well as others that have overseen all of the artwork that's come to the area. So it's it'd be hard for me to choose a favorite. That wouldn't be fair.
You mentioned funding and the elected delegation that has helped with some of this. Can you talk some about, can you talk more about everything that's happening with all the grants that, and every funding source that came
together? Yeah, no, we're so proud that this is, I mean, predominantly almost wholly grant funded. I mean, we're a city with, you know, the traditional responsibilities of providing, you know, safety and sewer and water and all of those things. And so, you know, we wanted to be careful and prudent with our finances, as we are very, very good at. So we went after a lot of grant funding sources. About $260,000 has been infused into this area, not from city taxes, but from grants that we've earned. It started with the art lot. And that was the first grant we received. And that was from the Central Carolina Community Foundation and one of their Connected Community grants. Mm-hmm. We've received two from them. One was for the art lot. One was to continue infusing art in the area. The latest one we had with them was to connect visually the art district with the Riverwalk. Because you can actually sort of, you know, as it stands, you can pop out of the Riverwalk and not realize you're 10 feet from being in the middle of a little urban area. Mm-hmm. Or you could be in that area and not realize that you're 10 feet from a trailhead to this, you know, wonderful natural asset. So if you go down there today and you see like the beautiful blue swirls on the sidewalk, it's to kind of visually guide you from one spot of the art district towards the Riverwalk and vice versa. So that was the second grant we got from Central Carolina Foundation. Yes, I mentioned the legislature gave us some funding from a PRT grant, or helped us see that through, and that was for River District signage. That's an interesting one because we did that with West Columbia. Mm-hmm. So we both have our own River Arts District. Ours is the River Arts District. I think they call their the River District. And, you know, we wanted to have signage that really exemplified what we have to offer on this side of the river. And so through Nikki Setzler and Micah Caskey, we worked with West Columbia to create that great signage. So wayfinding for it and branding for that area. So that came from PRT funding. We also got through Central Carolina Foundation, a Knights Foundation grant. They administer those. And that was really to infuse a lot of the art that you see on the buildings. And so not just murals, but we call them art buildings. And so they've taken some of the buildings in the district and they've kind of painted them with something unique, you know, something that sort of exemplified either what was in the building or what it was meant to be. So it's kind of just so unique. It's not a mural per se. It's just a feature. And that was all done by a guy named Will Bryan. It's his company oversees public art and how to create these great spaces all over. So he's a local as well. And that was fun to watch. So we've had a great success with grants. And then of course we have one from MASC, a Hometown Economic Development grant, to continue to expand upon the artwork there to make the art lot a little bit more usable. Some branding work came out of that, some signage as well. So I think it's a great testament to how much organizations and foundations want to be a part of these sorts of projects that this is almost wholly funded by grants, everything that we've done.
Now, I can say with all of these achievement awards, we have the first thing we do is we create a video of, you know, about 3 minutes that visually walks you through all of this. And you for the listeners, you should really take a look at that because, of course, this is visual art. This is to be seen, and you can hear from Marilise Parton and one of the business owners. But one of the things that I remember from the original award nomination on this one that we did not really delve into in the video, and so it's kind of tantalizing to me, is that there was mention of zoning work that went into creating this district. So could you talk about that?
You're right. Yeah. So we developed an arts overlay for this district that was adopted in 2019 because, of course, we were hearing a lot of, you know, different things as we were embarking on this redevelopment. It's difficult for businesses to come into this area for one reason or another, or any just typical, you know, zoning concerns. So the overlay, you know, was adopted really with the, you know, intention or the purpose of permitting additional uses that would allow artists in these spaces, give businesses some flexibility to, you know, live and work in the same building. That was the key tenet of it, is that we could have live work units here, because while we're attracting artists and businesses, we're also trying to not price them out. You know, we're trying to make this a place that they can be for a very long time as they're growing and starting a business or you know, an art business as well. So we worked on really making the uses and the design standards flexible, so there was not the traditional zoning drawbacks to a burgeoning area. So less restrictive sign requirements, no parking minimums, because obviously, you know, you need to be able to support these businesses as they're getting going. And part of it is to not lose the bones of the great urban density that we have there by requiring an unusually large amount of parking. So yeah, we have that overlay district that's been a part of, you know, what we've been doing there since 2019. So, and it's, you know, we really focused its location or its, you know, limits, its boundaries on this district specifically.
You know, as incredibly popular as murals have become all around South Carolina, there were plenty of places that, from a zoning perspective, did not allow murals. Was Casey in a place where there were no murals at all before this?
I can't think if there having been any before this. I don't know that we had any prohibition on it. They do become difficult when it comes to signage. You're right, and whether or not that constitutes a sign on a building, but I don't know. I don't think we had any before. Mm-hmm. I could be missing. I know there used to be. Let me take that back. I know there used to be one on the Henry's building, which is right at the absolute, you know, intersection in the middle of our district at State and Frank. And that's a great place. You know, they should be given credit for having been there all along as in some shape or form as a business. And I do believe that there was a mural on that building. And it was painted over for probably a business reason. But yeah, it, you know, I think places have to look at murals are exploding everywhere for sure. And so they must be each individual local government is making sure that there's no prohibition on that and making it easier for them to occur for sure.
Well, you mentioned that very initial role that Soiree on State played in making so much of what's happened in this district happen. Is there anything else to say there in terms of it brought the people in? Is it continuing to drive that momentum?
Yeah, I absolutely think so. We hope so. I mean, it's not built out. You know, we still have, you know, visions for, you know, a few more buildings. Maybe we expand the boundaries of the district to incorporate, you know, more of State and Frank Street. There's still potential for redevelopment of great old warehousing spaces on Frank Street we'd like to really tackle next. So, you know, Soiree, it's probably morphing a little bit more into the, you know, social aspect of what it's become. We're always going to kind of secretly use it as, hey, come see this area if you've never been. I mean, us, it's wildly successful when we get people that have never been there before. We love the regulars. We know we love the folks that have come year after year, of course, but we're really excited to welcome new people to the city. And that's just kind of a fun way to do that. And if they're there and they find, hey, that is a really cool building, or this is a cool spot, I want to figure out how to get here. And that happens all the time. Mm-hmm. Hey, we really like what's going on in Casey. We want to be a part of that growth. I mean, my assistant city manager, as well as my zoning staff and my business licensing staff, I mean, I'm constantly sending them, so-and-so is looking for 5,000 square feet to do such and such. You know, can you advise? We're not realtors for sure, but just the kind of the service we provide is, we know about this and this vacant building. Can we connect you with the property owner, or, you know, what, you know, how else can we help you? So we love bringing new people to the city. And I think Soiree on State continues to serve that function. But it's also just a very good time. And I think people, they look forward to that. We're asked to do it more often than once a year, but I tell you, it's a lot of work. And my staff kind of has a panic attack when they get asked for that. But it's certainly a testament to people enjoying what we have to offer and being out and about and just seeing each other. And we know that people kind of meet up here that don't see each other often. So it's a great event with a lot of different, you know, certainly of benefits. So,
you know, one thing I have enjoyed with, and it may just be a minor detail, but with Soiree on State, I've seen those giant freestanding letters that spell out Casey in front of the state. That's just a good branding exercise. Yeah. I mean, I know not every city could do that because, you know, Casey, that's only five letters, but it just looks cool.
Yeah. And those were created by students. I'm sorry to say, I can't recall the class or the school, but I know that those were, created by probably welding students and in Casey. And so, yeah, we move them around. They'll be pulled out here shortly for our Christmas in Casey decorations. We put them on the lawn next to our big tree. We have a tree lighting ceremony coming up. So we, yes, they are, you're right. They're beautiful. They're iconic and they stick out, and you stop and take notice. You know exactly where you are pretty quickly.
It's like the Hollywood sign. Cool. So you have, in talking about potentially expanding the district, you've alluded to this, but is there more to say about what is next for the River Arts District? What is from where you've come to now? What could be coming down the way?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a real specific, you know, tangible this business or that, but we are continuing to talk to prospective business owners, and you know, there are a handful of buildings still that need to be, you know, inhabited or revitalized in some way. And again, I mentioned Frank Street. So Frank Street's just, you know, kind of your traditional warehousing, very, very light industrial area that has an enormous amount of potential and kind of that cool, funky factor. So, you know, we'd really like to focus on some of those buildings on Frank Street. You know, I think in terms of more art, I would always love some more. We don't have anything particularly on the horizon, but want to see that happen some more for sure, if that's organically done by somebody privately. Or I do know, for instance, the building that Piecewise is in, that property owner has done her own mural after seeing some of ours. So love to see the businesses themselves kind of take on ownership of infusing more art or doing different things with their buildings that kind of fit what's going on in the district. And we'd love to see more programming go with the art lot. That was some of the funding that came from our hometown economic development grant, was to make sure that there was more ample, you know, electricity there, things that we could do to program more events in the art lot. I think the art lot got finalized probably the month COVID hit. And so we didn't have the ability to have that massive, you know, ribbon cutting and start its life. So we're still working on how to, you know, get it well programmed, well used, you know, cherished, and have a lot of activity going on in there. So that's something I know we'd like to work on.
You know, you mentioned the business or the building owner being inspired to do murals. It seems to always be the case that from inspiration, that public art always leads to more public art.
Yes, it does. It absolutely does. Yeah. And even just to, there was another building in this district that, you know, had boarded up windows, gorgeous buildings, a lot of interest in it, to see the property owner go and fix that. You know, they put the glass back in, they painted it, opened it up. I mean, so there's been a lot of that private investment in improving on their buildings, I think, since the public art came too. So that's a huge benefit. And I think that happens anywhere. It's kind of a pride thing. Oh, okay. I certainly will take pride in this because I see what's going on, and there's city pride in it, and there's now new businesses coming, and it's definitely contagious.
So you described, and this is in the video as well, Mayor Parton talking through pre-vitalization, the art of what is possible. I remember we ran a story in Uptown on murals popping up around South Carolina in 2019. And I think she used both of those phrases in that story. I mean, she is, she is gung-ho with that. So the question I always ask of what can other cities and towns learn from what Casey's doing here, that is such a key part of it right there, is showing potential investors, potential residents, everyone, what is possible. But is there anything else you could say about what others could learn from what Casey is doing?
Yeah, I mean, certainly you're right. That's huge. And I think that obviously everybody can do that. They can describe and visualize what's possible. But I think also the what's possible is what's unique about your particular street, downtown, city, whatever it is that you're, you know, looking to revitalize. Find the uniqueness, find the thing that's your theme. What is the what is it that you have to offer that you can build around? Because that's what's going to, I think, get people excited. For us, it was art. It was the Riverwalk. And it was art because the artists we learned were in our city and wanted to be in our city. They wanted to live, work, and sell, you know, in our city. So that was, for us, it was figuring out what those local themes were, what made that area unique, and then, you know, parading that, you know, lifting that, raising that, and focusing on that. And so that's, you know, whatever that is for, you know, your town or city, focus on that as your starting point and then figure out the pre-vitalization piece from that. And that's, you know, I think that's, everybody can do that. And, you know, cities are notoriously not very good about bragging about themselves or what is that makes them unique. And we got to stop doing that. Like, let's, we all have the things that make us something cool. And they're, you know, it can be art for every city, but that art may have a different form. It may take on something more localized. It can be, you know, a unique business that you have that everybody knows that you have, you know, build your brand and growth potential and pre-vitalization and revitalization around that. So I think it's about finding that unique piece of your area.
Well, I can say that when I was first introduced to the city of Casey many years ago, I was aware of the existence of Knox Abbott Drive and I was aware of the existence of the Krispy Kreme donuts on Knox Abbott Drive.
Sure.
So until all of this started happening, I was not aware of this downtown.
Sure.
So, yeah.
I believe it.
Well, I'll as we wrap up, any final thoughts on anything with the River Arts District?
No, I just would invite people to see it if they haven't. Keep coming back, come back again and again. Spend a lot of money at our businesses, but it's like you said. I mean, piecewise, I mean, it's really, I think, rewarding when you're going to a place kind of regularly and you'll start to see people that you recognize. In fact, you probably run into our assistant city manager every time you come because he's there every day. And there's just great value and reward in that. But it's good for the city too, of course. And yeah, I would just welcome everybody to come. And if they haven't been on the Riverwalk, I doubt there's many people that's true for, but come spend a day. You can walk the Riverwalk and then step off at the trailhead on Lyle Street and go grab your coffee and then do some art. So, yeah, we're proud of it. Thanks for letting us get to talk about it. We'll do that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, I don't know if you all will be applying for the 2024 awards, but I will give the plug for everyone listening. If you want to brainstorm for the 2024 Achievement Awards, you can look through all the videos and everything from these 2023 winners and past year's winners at the Municipal Association's website, which is www.masc.se. I'll just search for Achievement Awards on the website. And I definitely recommend this video. You get to see all the art. And with that, Tracy, thank you so much for taking time to talk to us about all of this.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much.
The City Quick Connect podcast is one of several ways the Municipal Association keeps you informed of the opportunities and issues impacting South Carolina cities and towns. Learn more at www.masc.sc and stay up to date with the Association's latest happenings on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.